Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
What's the state of agriculture in America? Keith Collins took that up this week in Congress, and we'll ask our panelists today right here on WILL AM 580's Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Arlen Suderman of Farm Futures Magazine and Farm Progress Publications. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's start our discussion today by talking about the outside markets. Crude oil hit an all-time high this week and the dollar slumped to new lows. What does it mean in the broadest sense of the commodity markets? Paul Cooley.
Well, I think we have to also mention, Todd, this is the 20th anniversary of October 19th, 1987. We remember that like it was yesterday. My general impression is that I'm going to borrow what Elaine Garzarelli said today on CNBC, that the world economy is gracefully slowing down, not only in Europe, but in the U.S. and in China. And those are three big economic parts of the world, and I do think that she is right, that we are slowing down, but agricultural is a boom.
Graceful will be the key word over time, I would think. What do you think, Jackie Vakes, in the broadest sense, the economy and the global market as it relates to agriculture?
Well, I'd have to say that I think when it relates to agriculture, we're looking at the best of times. A lower dollar certainly encourages a great deal of exports, makes us more competitive on a world market side. In general, high prices in fuel normally do slow an economy down. So I think Paul's comment of being graceful is probably very true. But I think for commodities, it's some of the best times.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities?
The fuel costs and all of that are hurting us, but the dollar is helping us. I think we have good prices to come for a while unless the world really slows down a lot.
And we picked up this next little item from CNS Grain Marketing. That's here in Illinois. Bill Fordham there sent his clients a note this week on crude oil and the U.S. dollar relationship. Fordham pointed out that while crude oil has surged nearly 15% since July, the adjusted price, given the weakness in the dollar, is only up about 4%. He wondered out loud what would happen if the Saudis decided not to tie the price of crude to the dollar, and does that thought scare you at all, Paul Cooley?
Well, number one, I don't think there's anything too magic about that statement other than the fact that, we can't produce enough oil. In theory, of course, that would make our crude oil more expensive if it wasn't tied to the dollar. My general impression is that the person I watch the closest, of course, in the crude oil markets is T-Bone Pickens, BP Energy and Trading, and, he's extremely bullish. He thinks that we will hit $100 by the end of the year.
That's the bad stuff, including a 360-point drop this week on Friday in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Let's get away from that for the moment and talk a little bit about the good stuff. And it comes from the chief economist at the USDA. Keith Collins presented some interesting outlook numbers to members of the Congress this week. He concluded with this statement: as we conclude 2007, the U.S. farm economy is coming off unprecedented increases in income and asset values with the past few years. Prospects for expanding global food and fuel demand look bright. More normal weather and farm production increases worldwide should lead to improved supply-demand balances in key markets like wheat. And with biofuel demand expected to continue growing, although at a slower pace in the future, he says. A big challenge will be responding to that demand by producing on more acres, producing more per acre, and protecting the environment while expanding production and dealing with feed availability and cost for the livestock sector. Now, that's a pretty rosy picture across the board, given the simple fact that a higher market goes, well, a higher market is more likely to falter. Is Collins too optimistic? Is the question for you, Jackie Vakes.
Well, I don't think that he's too optimistic. I think that there are the rosy picture could possibly be a little tinted when it comes to farm income, because right along with the higher prices have come a great deal higher input costs. I think we only have so many acres in the U.S., and so the reality is we're going to have to continue to produce more and more per acre, and costs are still going to move in a higher direction.
Speaking of acreage, and we'll take these numbers up in just a bit, Informa out with some numbers this week, as was USDA's Keith Collins. Here's what they're saying about acres and total numbers this week. USDA is saying in corn that we're looking at an 87, Informa at 85.8. USDA, of course, at 93.6 for this year. And last year at 78.3, the 87 million would be for planted acres next year from USDA, 85.8 from Informa. Soybeans at 70 million from USDA's Keith Collins this week when he presented to Congress. Informa at 71.7, USDA this year at 63.7. So the numbers are in soybeans up dramatically, but down pretty good in the corn. What did you make of the numbers, and do they look right to you?
I think numbers similar to this were expected from the high input costs on corn and the high price of beans. I think we really were looking at something similar to this. So I don't think these numbers were a shock. I think the probably big shock on Collins was the ending stocks lowered down to 210.
And that would be $210 million for the soybeans. So
the soybeans, yeah.
Let's stay with the corn for just a second, Paul Cooley. It had an awfully good week in the corn market. 371 and a quarter was the high for the December contract, the low at 350. Their settlement price at 370 and a quarter was up 19 and a quarter this week. And the December contract, Friday over Friday, 415 and a quarter, the settlement price up 15 cents. It led the grains floor higher. Can it manage to continue to move upward?
I think the wheat helped drag corn up a little bit on Friday. Todd, spreading made the decision. My hunch is when I'm out in the country, I sense two things. That number one, there's still an economic advantage to raise corn. These triple stacked hybrids are just absolutely dynamite when it comes to producing. A cash renter paying higher cash rents is still going to go for the home run in corn. My feeling is that there's still going to be the edge, and the edge is on the most productive ground in the Midwest, we're still going to see the incentive to go to corn.
Hey, speaking of cash rents, and I'm going to back up just a little bit, did you happen to see the FarmDoc numbers that were produced this week, taking a look at land values and what the value of land in the state of Illinois is, how much it's increased, and what it would be acceptable, what its cash rent value ought to be. I think across the state of Illinois it was $144 on average over the last year across the entire state in 2007. But if you go to the capitalized value, which is cash rent divided by interest rate paid on it, it needs to go up by $63 an acre in order to make that. It's not $5,000, but I think it was about $4,500 payout. The question really, I guess, is how much will cash rent go up this fall?
We understand that the average cash rent by, I think, some pretty prominent people like some of the universities say it's the average price in the state of Illinois is $212 an acre this coming year.
$212. That's a lot of cash rent. Can producers make that kind of cash rent work, do you think?
Well, I don't think at the current prices that they're at, they can make it work. But, you know, the thing that I think is interesting is you look at $212 here in Illinois, and I think that's pretty reasonable rent in contrast to $160s to $170s in Minnesota right now at this point in time. And big increases of $60 to $70 an acre in Iowa. I think it's going to be – the impression is that they can't make it work.
Is this one of the reasons you think that – one of the many reasons, I suppose, that you think that the rotation, the regular rotation back to soybean acres and more soybean acres that are predicted might come into play actually this year?
Yeah, that could easily make people farm have more corn. My worry about the cash rent is this a one-year thing? Or what if we go back to 230 cash corn? Are we going to back cash rent down? That really bothers me for down the road if we would slow down gracefully enough to make prices back up.
Paul, you're shaking your head in disapproval over something.
This has been a big boom year, guys. You know, just looking at the 200 bushel corn and 60 bushel beans, you know, we're talking about nets with cash rents at $200 an acre, nets $250 to $300 an acre. This has been a big boom year, and this means that the farmer does have reserve power to buy inputs. He's going to pay for inputs. He knows what the key is, and that's to raise corn and put all the inputs in as possible and do some forward selling. This is the name of the game, and it's not going backwards, not accepting the challenge. The challenge out there is to go into production agriculture, and don't forget it.
No, wait a second. Are you telling me this is the big boom year and they're not going to give up on their extra corn acres? Is that what you just said, or do you have something
else?
They
will slow down a little, Todd. We're not going to raise more corn acres in the United States than last year, but my point is that I think that don't be surprised if we don't see numbers above, close to 88 or 89 million acres in the United States this year.
Well, I thought what was pretty interesting, and in general, down at the Farm Progress Show down in Decatur at the end of August, what was the number one question that we heard asked in so many places, what are July wheat futures going to do? That certainly tells me that the farmer himself is doing a lot of thinking about whether he really does want to do more corn on corn acres and want to fight with the input costs and the possibilities of the shortages of seed, fertilizer, all of those types of things.
Let's take a look at the rest of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago this week. November beans at 996 and three quarters top, a low at 967 and a half. They settled at 983 and a quarter, up 6.5 cents for this year. November beans next year at 971 and a half, were up 10 and a half. You talked about wheat December contract at 863 top, the bottom at 810. December settled at 855 and a half. They were up 2 from last week. And July wheat at 692 and three quarters were up 12 and a quarter. So from the action this week, where would you suspect that we will be headed next week in the wheat market?
Well, the wheat market, really took a plunge and now has come back, especially in the new crop July. I mean, it almost hit the record high by, a penny? It missed it Friday. And so I would expect wheat to start back up again because of all the rumors, unless those rumors were just today and were Friday and won't go through next week about Russian exports.
Well, I'd have to agree. I think that wheat is probably going to start the day up, although I was a little disappointed. We closed at 855 and a half, and synthetically we were only trading at 857 and a half. Normally when you see a limit up day, you'd expect to see probably an 8 or 10 cent higher number than that. And so I expect we'll probably open up and then back off, especially if we don't hear any continuation on the Russian tariff.
Paul?
It seems to me that Argentina is in wonderful shape, and the U.S. wheat crop is off to a pretty good start as well. And my general impression is that the Russians do have wheat to sell, and some of the analysts that we basically watch closely feel that it would be an inopportune time for the Russian government to put the export tariffs on their wheat supply. But if they do, then that's a different game. But it looks like to me that with the Australian weather improving somewhat, wheat looks like a very high-priced commodity. And I think the trend is still down as far as some of the technical things that I'm looking at.
I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about what I think you have said in the past, and what you're saying now is that you think that there's an awful lot of weight in the market and that commodities in general will go lower.
Well, topping anyway.
Topping, okay. Yeah. But the topping means that there's potential some upside, but that your thought is she's got to go down at some point. That's kind of what we talked about on Thursday when we had you on the air. So the question is, are the two of you in sync with that kind of thought, or do you think that there's more upside potential here than what maybe Paul's recognizing at this point?
I think the wheat should be topping, if not this week, soon. I think the corn for 08 has a wide open top because of this acreage thing on Friday. And I think the beans, because of usage worldwide, still could they could go either way by $2.
Well, I think that near-term wheat, I don't think it's going to top unless we start to see the French wheat market fall apart, which it hasn't done. They can still buy wheat from us cheaper than they can buy from over there. So I think that wheat still has opportunity to go higher on new crop wheat. I think we can go higher just because at this point in time, you know, we're past the insurance date for planting on wheat. There's a lot of guys who don't have it in yet because of delayed planting right now. And I think the market's going to have a little bit of an issue with that. On corn, I think corn still has opportunity to go up. You know, beans are the wild card. Even if they plant more in South America, and I'm not in the camp that they're necessarily going to do that, it's tough for them to compete with us.
We'll close out with the livestock for this segment, and we'll ask you, Pete Manhart, about the October cattle on feed report showed placements at 109. I think that's the important number to look at. But that's still within the range. What do you make of the numbers? 96 for on feed as October 1, 97 marketed in September, but that placement's a pretty good size number.
Well, for nearby, I think it's a little neutral, but for February and on, it's a little negative for prices.
Here's the way the numbers finished at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on Friday. October high for the live cattle at 95.90, a low at 94.40. Their settlement up 85 at 95.30. The feeders at 111.50 were down $1.87.5 for the week. Lean hogs 59.10 for the high, the low at 56.87.5. Their new lead option down 70 at 56.92.5. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Arlen Suderman.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was a spring-like week here in Illinois with mild temperatures and even some severe weather. Temperatures this week ranged from 4 degrees above normal in western Illinois to 7 degrees above normal in eastern Illinois. The mercury soared into the upper 70s and low 80s on Thursday as an intense low over Minnesota generated strong southerly winds across Illinois and the Midwest. This same low was also responsible for several rounds of severe weather across the state. The first wave of severe storms dotted Illinois on Wednesday night and early Thursday morning. The severe weather was spotty, but many areas did receive beneficial rain. The heaviest rain fell in southern and southeastern Illinois. Nearly 4 inches of rain was reported by COCORAS observers in Wayne and Williamson counties, 2.5 to 2.75 inches in Lawrence County, and generally 2 inches over most of southern Illinois. Additional storms developed Thursday ahead of the cold front and did produce some severe weather. With the rain this week, October rainfall is at or above normal across Illinois. Mild weather will continue through this weekend as southerly winds become reestablished ahead of another low-pressure system. That low and a trailing cold front will sweep through Illinois on Monday, accompanied by more showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be close to normal the rest of the week, with another chance for some rain by late Thursday or Friday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Jackie Vakes of the Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Our guest is Arlen Suderman today. In May of 2000, Suderman joined Farm Progress Companies as marketing and management editor. Farm Progress currently publishes 18 state and regional magazines covering 48 states. He writes regular market outlook and educational marketing columns, most notably for Farm Futures magazine. Arlen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
How comfortable are you with making new crop commodity sales for corn and soybeans, and to what level would you move someone right now that hasn't made any sales, should you feel it, of course, prudent to make that strategic move?
That's an excellent question. In fact, we just at the end of the week put that question on farmfutures.com as a survey question. It's getting tremendous interest from people, and it seems to be a lot of people have either priced nothing or they've priced quite a bit. And my take on it is that these prices, you have to look at least pricing some. I'm not as aggressive as what I would have been in other years because input costs are rising so fast. We still are in an inflationary time. Input costs are rising each year. It's difficult to know how much fertilizer is going to be costing for putting in the 09 crop, let alone 08 this next year, although many farmers have got that locked in already. But land costs are going up. Fuel costs are going up. So I'm reluctant to get too aggressive, but 20-25% of next year's crop, I think, just makes good business sense.
How about then of this year's crop? Where would you be on it? And if you're heavily sold in this year's crop, would you be replacing it, looking for moves up in a battle for acres?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. First of all, would I be re-owning it? And your alternatives there are straight in the futures market or in the options market. First of all, when I look at the options market, the premiums, unless you go with a little bit more complex strategy to try to hold your cost down, the premiums for the typical farmer is just going to buy a call option are so high that you're probably going to, by the time you end up paying a premium, going to limit the ability of what you go it up, because I'm still not seeing here, I'm still not looking at $5 corn, I'm not looking at beans in the teens, at least not at this point. Although I can't rule that out if we have weather problems next year or more significant weather problems in Brazil. Then on the other hand, you look at straight futures market, a producer's got to know what they're doing and be able to have the cash flow for the margin calls because we've certainly seen the price swings we got. How aggressive would I be on old crop? At this point, I'm mostly in the 50 to 70% priced range, and I'm hanging in there and have my my line drawn in the sand underneath the market in case it breaks unexpectedly. But I see us still in a demand-driven market. The growth in the ethanol industry is slowing, but it's still a rapid growth. Export demand is exceeding USDA projections on a monthly basis. Demand is driving it largely because of the cheap dollar. Even at these prices, once you translate it through currency exchange rates, our prices still are not that expensive.
When you look at the Collins and Informer's numbers that came out today as far as the acreage goes for corn, Arlen, how high do you think corn could actually go if we end up with just those few acres and a lower than billion bushel carryout?
Well, actually, in our producer surveys have been pretty accurate over the years, and we did our producer intention, our first producer intention for 2008 in the week of August 1st, and our numbers were 84.9 on corn and 72.6 on soybeans. And we believe that the markets have adjusted things since then. We've bought more wheat acres since then, and I think fewer corn acres. And I know I agree with the comment made earlier that you can still make money on corn, but farmers are telling us very strongly, as we've talked to them, that they want to get closer to their rotations, to spread their workload out, and the input costs are affecting their cash flow, and they simply want to go back closer to those rotations. I think that Collins' numbers are probably where we're going to end up by the time the market ends, does its job. I think corn and soybeans, neither one are going to quite get what they need come next year. It's going to leave both of them pretty tight. Comment made earlier about maybe the surprise was that with the big increase in soybean acres, that stocks are still tight for 08-09, and that's exactly what our projections have been showing, that we're going to stay tight on soybeans unless Brazil increases more than we think, and right now that just isn't in the cards.
Arlen, did you get any feedback from any of your surveys that the 44 bushel bean crop in Illinois and the 178 bushel corn crop was accurate, or was it basically unanimous that it was a good number from your surveys?
That depends if you're in northern Illinois or southern Illinois. Certainly had crops burning up in the south, and it was just a garden spot in the north and stretching over into eastern Iowa. And particularly at the Farm Progress Show, we heard a lot of that. It depends on which window you're looking out, your back window, on how good it is. But frankly, I was not surprised by the reduction in the overall national average yield because you look at year. years when we have a temperature spectrum like what we did across the Midwest, even with our current genetics, when you have above normal temperatures, we tend to pull back the yield estimates in October and November and into the final estimate. And I was a little bit curious to see with today's genetics whether we would break that trend, and as of October anyway, we have not.
Unlike the rest of the panelists here, you sound like you might be more friendly to the market over time than these three are. Would that be an accurate thought?
Perhaps so, and it's not necessarily based on just purely fundamentals. I'm looking at the big picture of global demand for commodities continues to increase. I think assessed well that the global economy is probably slowing down a bit, but it's still strong and healthy. I was surprised I think it was a CNN poll that said over 50% of Americans think that we're in a recession, and actually the numbers, even though we have problems in the mortgage market, in the housing market, that the numbers show the U.S. economy is really holding up quite well. The global economy is still growing, but just not at as fast a clip. And we're overall, demand is growing for commodities faster than what we're producing it, and I think you look at 2 billion bushels of corn, looks like a huge carryout, but the market hit $10 in the soybean pits, even though we had record carryout for soybeans, because it's looking a year ahead. And we're looking at declining soybean stocks, and a year from now we're going to be looking at tight corn stocks.
In this usage, I mean, we've had great usage and continue to have it, and that's mostly why we're here, because we're using what we're producing. Do you see any problem or anything that could come up that would make that usage not as good?
Well, I think we're already seeing signs of slowdown in the rate of growth in the ethanol industry. I think we're going to see a lot more plants. Well, to this point, it's been mostly slowing down of construction of plants that were just getting started. I think we're going to see a number of plants this winter actually shut down for a period of time until the margins improve. And that's going to pull back, and that's why I've been more conservative on my ethanol demand numbers. But the long-term trend is still in place, and export demand is making up for much of that. We've already raised the export target 375 million bushels, and the current sales pace is almost 350 million bushels above where you'd expect it to be to hit that target.
Arlen, we appreciate you being with us today.
You bet.
Arlen Suderman is with Farm Progress Publications, where he serves as managing editor. Now, a final word from our panelists, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
My two private meteorologists indicate less rainfall for the Midwest over the weekend, so hopefully it'll be a quick back to harvest.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities?
I think we're going to continue to see volatility up and down. And I think in your marketing plan, you need to have something to take advantage of that to put more of those dollars and pennies in your pocket.
And finally, Jackie Bakes of Stewart Peterson Group.
Well, I think that when we look at the volatility, that's going to also be driven by speculators coming into the market, which makes the markets a little more difficult. But don't become discouraged. I think getting some sales on the books makes a lot of sense.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Thanks to our panelists, Paul Cooley, Jackie Bakes, and Pete Manhart. Something to keep in mind, you can always access this program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our website on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.